This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Church family, happy Sabbath. 2021 is the year of prayer, Bible study, and testimony. It is a joy for us as a church family to start out a year in such a wonderful way. We have already started the Bible reading program. Every single day we want to read a part of the Bible. For the upcoming week, we read Genesis chapter 32 to Exodus chapter 4. And please send your questions to the pastor's line. But we also have prayer vigil and prayer meetings every day, every week, every month. And I would like to thank Prayer Ministry for their tireless work throughout 2020 and 2021 to bring us together in prayer. It is a privilege to start the year with a week of prayer, so please be tuned, and every single night you will be blessed by a wonderful message coming from the Lord. This morning, the Lord has a special message to us using His messenger that was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. He's a graduate of the Michael University College, where he earned a degree in secondary education with an emphasis in linguistics. Linguistics, that's cool. I like it. He then received a call for ministry and enrolled at Northern Caribbean University, the famous NCU, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Religion and Theology. The man of God that is going to be used this morning is an ordained minister, master guide, youth leader, songwriter, gospel recording artist, and musician. He preached all over the world as an international evangelist, and he held campaigns in Jamaica, in the USA, Canada, Turks and Caicos, Brazil, the Cayman Islands, and some other places. He also holds a Master of Arts degree in pastoral counseling with an emphasis in marriage and family counseling from Liberty University. He's married to Dr. Kahila Jones White, who is marriage and family therapist in the state of Florida. And she's also a conflict resolution expert, certified Supreme Court family mediator, and CEO of Platinum Life Counseling. But what is even more significant to us, to the heart of the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, is that Dr. Kahila Jones White is the daughter of our beloved late Dr. Marvel Jones. And we often marveled at the faith of this wonderful woman of God. We still feel the pain. And yes, Pastor Joven White is by the marriage with her daughter, is a son of our sister Marvel Jones. The two, Sister Kahila and Pastor Joven, they shared in the ministry of counseling and enjoy doing family and youth seminars together. Right now, Pastor White is the senior pastor of Windermere and Emmanuel Seventh-day Adventist District, Church District, in Orlando area. Well, I'm pleased and blessed to welcome Pastor White. His personal philosophy of life is anything for Jesus, let me do. May God bless you, and may God bless the whole church family, and welcome, welcome, welcome home.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am humbled and super happy to be here at the Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church as we worship via this medium. It is an awesome time to praise the Lord through the virtual space. And I just want to give God thanks for all the choristers and singers, the beautiful praise team that did that awesome praise and worship. We praise God for them. And also want to give God thanks for my friend, your pastor, Pastor Joe, the senior pastor of this church, Pastor Jennifer, and the pastoral staff and leadership of this church for granting me this awesome privilege of preaching the word of God in this illustrious edifice of praise. I want to bring you greetings from the Windermere Church where I serve in Central Florida. It's a little bit cooler down there than it is here in South Florida, but we praise God for you. Windermere, my church family is tuning in, and also the Emmanuel Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are also joining across the world in this 10 days of praying and fasting. I was telling my church family recently that there's never been a time where the devil was trying to make COVID-19 for evil, but God is turning it around for his good. Because across the world, so many persons have been impacted by the moving of the word of God through the virtual space. And the Bible reminds us, until this gospel is preached to all nations, then shall the end come. So I'm super happy to be here. I want to praise God for Sister Dion, a prayer warrior in Christ. Amen. With her beautiful glasses on. You got to watch that glasses. Amen. But we praise God for the woman of God, and of course, Pastor Jennifer and the team, and Pastor Joe. We thank God for all of you. My wife is watching. Good to see you, baby. She's watching via the virtual space, and she's looking at me, and she's praying for me. And of course, my brother-in-law, Kellon, is also watching, and we praise God for them. It's good to have a praying wife who lifts up the preacher's hand in this time. It has been a rough week this week for us, but truly we can declare, if you are not too bougie to lift up your hands wherever you are, in the YouTube stream, on Facebook, in the sanctuary here, and just lift up your hands and say, God's grace and his mercies has truly brought us through. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. These few verses will form the framework for sermonic time together. I want to preach and teach on the caption, the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. The Bible says in Acts 12, now about this time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. The Bible says in verse 2, that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse 3 says, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, or the Passover period. Verse 4 says, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartons of soldiers, or 16 soldiers, intending to keep him and to bring him before the people at the Easter period of Passover. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now behold, an angel, verse 7, came upon him, stood by him, and a light shone on the prison. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up, and said, arise quickly. And chains fell off his hands, and he put on his sandals. And the Bible says, the angel told him, put on your garment and follow me. Bow your heads as we bless this word. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on all of us today. Taint now lips of clay, let them move by the impulse of your love. And so, Lord, as we take a look in the book, we know that there is something for somebody in this word, in this preaching moment. We ask you, living God, as I kneel in front of your people, as Ellen White reminds ministers to kneel in dependence on God, stand in my body, Holy Ghost. Use me now in a meaningful manner. May you send angels with excellent strength to take up their places and to move through the virtual space. Heal broken hearts. Set some people free, we pray. May your people be edified today. May your words be glorified. And may the devil be terrified. Let the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts, be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, you are our strength. And our redeemed, let everyone say, amen, amen. The power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. I'll be with you tomorrow night. You don't want to miss that one. I'm praying my way through. You don't want to miss that. I'm praying my way through. Just a few months ago, last year, I was captivated and motivated by an article from the Washington Post showing thousands of religious leaders and pastors, along with protesters of the Black Lives Movement, standing before the gates of the White House on June 14, 2020. They were all united in praying for change in the culture of violence and dogmatic degrading of the Black community. This protest, which was led by one of my favorite preachers, Dr. Howard John Wesley of the Alfred Baptist Church, shows the Black Lives Plaza transformed in a church service with thousands of mostly African-American people praying and kneeling and dancing near the White House after marching from the National Museum of African-American History and Culture. It was one of the largest faith-based events in the days of protests. And just this week, make no mistake about it, we have seen one of the worst events in American history, a crazy and corrupt act of rioters decimating the Capitol. But caught amidst the craziness that was going on in this rioting this week, on the news, the cameraman zoomed in on a lady named Lisa Blunt Rochester, who was praying and asking God to intercede and to save her country. Thank God, my brothers and sisters. Thank God, my brothers and sisters. We still have people in our nation that still believe in the power of prayer. Somebody say amen. And the fact of the matter is, across the nation, there are many societal ills affecting our country, the land of the free. Thank you so much. Our young men are afraid to be on the road too late and have to be careful of how they dress in order not to be killed. Children are being misused and physically and emotionally abused by caretakers. Thank you, technicians. Communities are riddled with the bullets of crime, violence, and even the drug trade is still prevalent in so many states. A society filled with political corruption and presidential confusion. The fact on the matter is, if there's ever time we need to pray in Plantation Church, it is now. If there's ever time the church needs to be praying for our country amidst this time of national crisis, it is now. If there's ever a time we need to be praying for protection and covering from this terrible virus, it is now. If there's ever a time we need to be praying for the millions who have lost their jobs and are unemployed in the season of unemployment, it is now. If there's ever a time we need to be praying for faith to overcome our fears and to navigate our way through difficult times, it is now. We need, my brothers and sisters, a spiritual awakening of miraculous, wonder-working power to fight against the forces of darkness. No wonder the Bible reminds us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Peter says in 2 Peter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, is as a roaring lion seeking whom you may devour. Be sober means to be focused, to be wide awake, to be connected to God in light of what's happening in our society. The devil is real, my friends. Make no mistake about it, he's working overtime, for he knows he doesn't have much time. So we have to come together to fast and pray overtime for prayer and power now. Thank God for these 10 days of prayer, where we all as Seventh-day Adventists across the world can join hands and heart together to pray for power and strength from God. Thank God for these series of prayer weekends so we can come together and plug into Jesus, the power source. That's why the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, if my people who are called by my name, oh, I love this text so much, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Ellen White, in her book, The Power of Prayer, chapter 15, talks about Jesus' example in his prayer life during his ministry here on earth. It says here, it was in hours of solitary prayer that Jesus, in his ministry on earth, received wisdom and power. In fact, she says, when Jesus was upon this earth, he taught his disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast all their cares upon him, knowing with full assurance he will take care of them. The only prescription, my brothers and sisters, for the problems we are now facing is Jesus Christ. And prayer is the medicine. Ellen White, in her book Revive Us Again, says, well, follow me carefully, without persevering, prevailing prayer, there is no corresponding power. Oh, you missed your shout right there. I wish I had somebody who could blow up the YouTube and Facebook to understand. The more we press and push the hand of God, is the more power we get. Less prayer, less power. In fact, R.A. Torrey says, if you are too busy to pray, you are too busy to have power. Oh, you missed that. So the prevailing prayer gives you the corresponding power. Here in our story of contemplation, Acts 12, here it is. We see the early church thriving and baptizing amidst Roman and Jewish oppression and persecution. Nevertheless, the church kept hope alive despite societal challenges because they were bathed in prayer. Christianity was not seen by the Romans as a religion of choice in this era, and so Christians were being killed and persecuted. History claimed that Emperor Nero said, the more I killed Christians, is the more they kept popping up. The more he tried to stop the gospel, is the more people came to the gospel. You see, the Romans only saw paganism, Greek mythology, and Romanism as true religions of the time. Christianity was not regarded because, according to the Romans, they had killed the Christian God on the cross. But my brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that Jesus, hallelujah, is not dead. He's seated on his throne. Jesus rose on the first day from the grave with all power in his hands. And we can sing the song, you serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hands of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time, I wish I had a church. I said, just the time I need him. Do I have a witness? Just the time you need him. He's always here. Hallelujah. He lives. Peter understood Christ's ministry. Peter walked up and down with Christ on his ministry on earth. And so Peter was now seen as the chief bishop of the church. He now escalates to the high office of the early church. And in this era of the church's history, make no mistake about it, great signs and wonders were happening. Come here, Plantation, come here. The disciples were now full and filled with the Holy Ghost. And after the day of Pentecost, now they were turning the cities upside down for Jesus Christ. Scripture says the disciples were healing diseases of every kind. Oh, I'm getting excited. I wish I had somebody with the preacher. Lame men were now walking, and blind men were now seen, and withered hands were now made straight. And then White says that Peter was so consumed with the Holy Ghost that as when he walked, his shadows were healing people. I wish we would come to a place, my brothers and sisters, we as Seventh-day Adventists, that we are so pumped up on prayer that when we walk into workplaces, when we go through schools, when we go into communities, people will feel the Holy Ghost in us. You see, we got to be God's witnesses. We got to be God's witnesses wherever we go. And whatever we do, we got to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch those from hell and the grave. Now picture this in the theater of your minds. Because the church kept baptizing, the Christianity was now becoming famous. This angered Herod Agrippa. Now after the stoning of Stephen, Herod decided that drastic and devastating measures needed to be taken against the church community from thriving. And so he decided to strike at the church leaders, because if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. That's why, my brothers and sisters, it's very important to pray for Pastor Joe and pray for Pastor Jennifer and pray for your leaders, for the devil wants to win the battle over this church by striking at its leaders. That's why when Jesus was on earth in his earthly ministry with the disciples, he always prayed early in the morning. Don't miss this. Before Jesus went to the multitude, he would go to mountain. Oh, you missed that. So Jesus wouldn't go into the multitude to teach and preach unless he went to mountain. It was from mountain to multitude, from multitude to mountain, because he understood, I have to be prayed up to deliver the word of God. And so he would be the Holy Ghost told me something. Where is your mountain? Where is your mountain of prayer? Is it in your closet? Where is your war room when you're fighting for your marriage? Where is your war room, my young person, when you're fighting depression, when you're fighting fear? Where is that place where you wrestle with God about some stuff? I don't know what you're wrestling with God about, but thank God there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Will somebody say praise the Lord? Put in that chat room, put on Facebook, there is still a place. There is still a place where I can talk with God. There's still a place where I can talk with God about some stuff. There's still a place I can wrestle with God about some stuff. Hallelujah. And he's never too busy to hear us. The Bible says Herod was not a Jew, but sought to gain favor among the Jews and Romans by persecuting Christians. The Bible says, Pastor Joe, in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, by the sword. John was now beheaded. Now they took hold of Peter, arrested him, and threw him into prison. Now, if you know your Bibles very well, the three disciples that comprised the inner circle of Jesus' earthly ministry was Peter, James, and John. James was killed by the sword. John now was beheaded, the cousin of Jesus. Peter now was thrown into prison. Imagine the fear and fright. Imagine the horror and havoc. Imagine the despair and the despondency that overshadowed the church community. You ask the question, brother preacher, what did the church do? The church never stopped praying. I don't want to go in your Kool-Aid, but I don't want to miss the flavor that you have. Here it is. Tell your neighbor, never stop praying. touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, never stop praying. Type in the chat, never stop praying. Today I'm here to tell somebody, I don't know what challenges you're going through. I don't know what you're battling today. I don't know what you're going through spiritually with the devil. I'm here to tell somebody, never stop praying, because your breakthrough is coming. I don't know what challenges you're going through. The going may get tough, and the tough may get going. The hills may be hard to climb, but my grandmother would sing the song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through my challenges, through my valleys, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Hallelujah! I've learned to trust in God. Just push, push, pray until something happens. Jacob prayed and wrestled with God, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Pastor Jennifer, Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and God closed across angry, miserable mouths of the lion. David prayed with all his heart, called upon God and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Elijah prayed and fire came down on Mount Carmel and consumed the sacrifice. Paul and Silas prayed in the midnight hour, and God flung open prison doors. What I'm simply trying to say to somebody on YouTube, on Facebook, when your church family starts praying, when the saints of God praise, the devil's camp is in confusion. When the saints of God praise, heaven is moved into action. And when heaven is moved into action, God's people will get satisfaction. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. The God of the day is still God in the night. The second point is, I won't be long. Pray and let God worry. The Bible says in verse 5 to 6, Peter was chained up. He was locked up between 16 soldiers and was sound asleep. Verse 6 says he was sleeping. He was sleeping. Chapter 12, verse 6 on the screen. He was sleeping the night before he was supposed to be killed. Peter was not worrying, because he knew the God whom he served. But when you have the church of God praying for you on the outside, let me tell you something. You think Peter was a crazy person to be sleeping the day before he was supposed to be killed. When the church family is praying for you on the outside, the Holy Ghost is moving on the inside. Grace and mercy is sitting beside you on either side, and the prayer team interceding for you day and night. You can go to bed and sleep like a baby, knowing that your God that you serve is able to carry you through. He's able. I know he's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. When you know God, the God whom you serve, you can rest in the promise that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the anointing. You can go to bed saying, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. You can go to bed knowing that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe Peter was a madman to be sleeping the day before he's supposed to be killed. But I believe before he went to bed, he had a praise and worship session all by himself. Have you ever been there before? That you're praying all by yourself. You're praying and you're singing all by yourself. They call you crazy on the bus. They call you crazy driving in the car, stopping at the stoplight. They see you praising and having your own praise and worship in your car. But they don't know how many valleys you've been through. They don't know how many hills you had to climb. They don't know how to test. You have to come out with a testimony. So you keep on praising. You keep on shouting. You keep on praying. Keep on pushing. Pray until something happens. Peter had no praise team. Peter had no choir. Peter had no musicians like the beautiful ones at Plantation and the awesome praise team that you guys have. Thank God jealousy is not a bad thing. I was a little jealous a little bit, but thank God for Jesus. All he had was grace and mercy sitting beside him. But yet in the face of adversity, Peter still has a praise on his lips to God. Don't miss tomorrow night. So I believe he was singing some songs like, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may be tied, a shelter in the time of storm." That old singers used to sing the song, "A mighty rock." I wish I had a church in the weary land, cool in shade for the burning sand, a faithful guide for the pilgrim's band. I wish I had somebody who knows he's a shelter in your time of storm. I believe Peter was singing, "Under his wings I'm safely abiding." He was chained up between 16 soldiers. No doubt the soldiers looked at him kind of strange. They looked at him kind of funny, wondering if this man was losing his mind to be singing before he was supposed to be killed. But I believe, you see, when you know the God whom you serve, you will sing as loud as you can, because you know the God's grace and mercy will bring you through. I believe Peter was singing, "Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior. Savior to me, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." I believe he was singing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I still know who holds the future, and life is just worth living just because he lives." You got to know how to call upon the God you serve when trouble comes. I'm done now. Testimonies to the church. I'm done. Testimony to the church, page 545, volume 1. It says, "A great work is to be done, and this work has been entrusted to those who know truth. They should make mighty intercession with God for help now. Our prayers are to be persistent. The more earnestly and steadfastly we ask, the closer will be our spiritual union with Christ. We shall receive increased blessings because we have increased faith." Oh, you missed that. "We shall have increased blessings because we have increased faith." Charles Spurgeon, famous theologian, says, "A prayerless church is a Christless church. A prayerless soul, therefore, is a Christless soul." Today, in our postmodern culture, so many people, so many things have taken over our time and have distracted and detracted our prayer life and relationship with Almighty God. Materialism and skepticism and Gnosticism has crept into our religious church culture. People are now questioning the very existence of God. Yoga meditation has taken the place of praying and meditating on God's word for help. And for some, the Bible is seen as relative. Creation is degraded to evolution. My brothers and sisters, it is clear we're living in the last days. Young people are now more excited about Snapchatting, TikToking, WhatsApping, and Instagramming. Y'all heard me. Let me repeat that so you can tweet that. I, as a young person, let me put myself in it. Let me speak the truth and shame the devil. Hallelujah. Are more excited about Snapchatting, TikToking, WhatsApping, Instagramming more than praying and witnessing for God. The devil has caught us in his worldwide web of worldliness that we have no craving for godliness and righteousness. In fact, a very interesting quotation, hear what Ellen White says: "Satan is working in the atmosphere," in the book Last Day Events, and I'm asking you to get that book and put it on the screen for me. "Satan is working in the atmosphere. He is poisoning the atmosphere, and here we are dependent upon God for our lives. He is poisoning the atmosphere," she continues in that same book, "with a viruses of no cure." Did you hear that? She predicted this virus thing years ago. She says, "And being in this position, we need to depend on God. We need to be wide awake, wholly devoted, wholly converted, and wholly consecrated to God now." My brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is, the devil has caught us. But church, We need to keep on praying. Today, there are many people who just pray for a few hours. No longer do we have morning and evening family worship and intense study of the Word of God. And today, I'm worried about my church. We are distracted, fighting against ourselves with political schemes and schisms. But today God is saying, it is time to stop the playing of church. It is time for the church to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is closer than we first believed. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost has revealed to me, we need more praying and less train, more fasting and less feasting, less gossiping and more worshiping, less malicing and more praising, because when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. Ellen White says in the book Steps to Christ, prayer is the key in the hands of faith where it unlocks heaven's storehouse. You see, I believe in prayer because God is still with his church. I believe when we call upon Jesus, miracles can happen. I remember I was preaching in a crusade in a place called St. Mirren, and after preaching that night, a lady phoned me in the vestry. Everybody was rushing to go home because Monday was work, and the elders were rushing, and everybody was rushing, and the lady came in with a baby, and when I looked at her baby, she was crying. The baby was basically turning blue. The baby was about to die. And I said to my elders, come on, let's come together. Let's pray. People were getting busy. People were getting afraid. Oh, pastor, take the baby to the hospital. It makes no sense. We pray now. And I was appalled. I was saying, don't you know the God we serve? Don't you know the God we serve is a now God? He's a God of miracles. Now. He's a God of breakthroughs. Now. And so they were a little bit doubtful. So I said, okay, my friends, leave the room. I don't want faith less people with me. I want faith-filled people with me. And so I took the mother by the hand. I put the baby in my hand. I said, mother, do you believe? True story. She said, pastor, I believe. I said, we ain't going no hospital. We got Dr. Jesus. And when doctors say no, Jesus says yes. I laid my hand on the baby. The lady put her hand on her own baby. I said, mom, your prayers may be more connected to God than mine, because God listens keenly to a mother's prayer. I said, I'm going to join faith with your prayer. I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray till this baby turns the right color. And we kept on praying. We prayed for over 20 minutes. And soon over, the baby began to cry, and the color began to change, and the fever went, and everything went away. I said, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, 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 power. Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burdens of sin? There is power. Hallelujah, somebody. Power to heal. Power to save. Power to satisfy. For we serve a God who is higher than the highest. He is greater than the great. No one can ever take his crown away. He is the all-time, undisputed, undefeated champion of God. That's why Ellen White says, as I close in the book, The Power of Prayer, in chapter 2, she says, if we were more praying, if chapter 2, The Power of Prayer, chapter 2, page 20, if there were more praying among us, more experiencing of living faith, and less dependence upon someone else to have an experience for us, we would be far in advance of where we are today in our spiritual intelligence. What we need is a deep heart and soul experience with God. Then we will be able to tell what God is doing and how he's working now. My brothers and sisters, I got to close this story. This is the sweetest part of the story. The Bible says in verse 7, Peter slept. He was sleeping before he was supposed to be killed. But while he was sleeping, I got to close this message now. While he was sleeping, the Bible says an angel in verse 7 came upon him and and touched him. I got to research this passage, Jennifer, because the verb phrase came upon him. In the Greek, it is epistemis, which means suddenly. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. In other words, is there anybody who knows about God showing up for you suddenly? When all hope seems lost, he showed up for you suddenly. All right, let me put it where you can catch it. I remember I was at NCU in my final, almost going on to my final year, and I was now not working. I left my job to go and decide to do theology, and so I had to be depending back on my parents for little pocket money, a little money to buy stuff. And so I called my father. He would give me $1,000 Jamaican, and Jamaican money, it moves so quickly in Jamaica, especially everybody asking you for some of it. You're trying to share. And so by the time Wednesday came, I kid you not, by the time Wednesday came, getting the money from Sunday, the money was finished. And so I remembered I was supposed to go from NCU Gate up to Nut Patrick. If you know Jamaica and you know where Mandeville is, you know from NCU Gate, Northern Caribbean University, all the way up to Nut Patrick, another place up the road, is a long walk. And so usually as students, we'll take taxis. I had to go to a group work presentation and come back to present. I had no money to go. The taximen were asking me if I wanted a ride. I asked them if I can get a free ride in Jesus' name. They said, no, Pastor, we can't help you. No money, no honey. And so I said, okay, let me pray. Let me pray and ask God to send some money. Have you ever prayed and you forgot about the prayer because God didn't come in the time you wanted him to come? And so I stepped out and I said, Lord, the challenge is going from NCU Gate to Nut Patrick was $80 up, $80 down. That's $160 if I serve correct. But instead of asking God for more than $160, sometimes we put God in a box. I asked God for $120 because I was begging God something. But we don't serve a small God. I should have asked God for $1,000 so I could make it through our $2,000 the other week. But I asked God for $120. And so I stepped out of NCU Gate. I was praying and said, Lord, are you going to allow me, after praying to you, to walk all the way up to Nut Patrick? That's about an hour and a half journey walking. Where is the money, God? I was fighting with God, frustrated. And in my frustration, kid you not, I kicked my foot accidentally on a big rock stone. And I began, Jamaicans, y'all Caribbean people know what I'm talking about. We started to get upset and we said, Lord have mercy, get making them nice. But you see, through some pain, we can get gain. Through some tests, you can have a testimony. And so when I kicked my foot on a big rock stone, after getting upset with God for allowing me to kick my foot on the stone, when I removed the stone, I saw $500. I took up that money. I looked left. I looked right. I said, no. Nobody claimed. I said, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I had enough money to buy some food. Hello, somebody. Buy some good old bun and cheese and some, I don't know those stuff. I got some money to buy some food and had enough money to go up and down with the taxi with chains leave over. That's the kind of God we serve. He shows up suddenly when all hope seems lost. Suddenly when your back's against the wall. Suddenly when you got no money. Suddenly when doctors thrown in the towel. Suddenly, when friends leave and forsake you. Suddenly, when sickness rocks your body. He's just a showing up God. That's why the song says, he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. He may not be there when you want him. But hallelujah, he'll be there right on time. Yes, my brothers and sisters, the angel showed up for Peter suddenly. In his darkest moment. And I'm so happy that God doesn't only work in the night shift. He works all shifts. The Bible says in Psalms 121, the 121st division, verse 4, he never sleeps nor slumbers. You can call upon him in the morning, call him at noontime, call him in the evening, because he is a God who will hear you when you call. He will lift you when you fall. He's still the sympathizing, empathizing, never failing Jesus. All you have to do is to allow him to show up for you. The Bible says the angel raised him up, told him to gird up his sandals and follow him. The phrase raised him up in the Greek means he was dead in his sleep. In other words, when Peter was asked by the angel to walk behind him, Peter was actually sleepwalking. You missed that. Because in sometimes God works shows up for you. You don't even know how he shows up. You want the bill to be paid. You don't even know how it became paid. You don't have the consciousness to know how God has showed up. That's what God does sometimes. He mesmerizes our mental faculties and blows our minds and shows up in the nick of time. We don't even know how he does it. Peter was walking behind the angel, but he was actually sleepwalking. How do I know it? Because the Bible says when he came to himself, only two times we have that phrase, with the prodigal son and also in the New Testament here with Peter. Today you may be broken in your prison. You may be locked up in your prison of fear and anxiety because of this virus, prison of financial stress. You don't got no money. You don't got no job. The mortgage is due. The rent is due. Prison of living with the sickness rocking your body. A prison of marital abuse and family crisis. But today I bear good news. I bear the gospel news. The news is God wants to break you free from your prison. Listen to me on YouTube. Hear me on Facebook. God wants to break you free from your problems, to free you from your sins, to free you from your issues, to free you from the things that have led you astray, to free you from all maladies, because whom the Son set free is truly free indeed. All you have to do, my brothers and sisters, like Peter, is to put on your gospel shoes and just follow him. Today God is saying, just follow me. I will open up that door of opportunity for you. God is saying, just follow me. I will provide your needs according to my riches and glory. Just follow me. I will provide the money for the mortgage. Just follow me. I will help you out of your problems. Just follow me. I will make a way when it seems to be no way. My sister, my brother, God is saying, just follow me. I am your lawyer in a courtroom. I am your doctor in a sick room. Just follow me. I'm your way maker. I am a miracle worker. I am your promise keeper. I am your light in your darkness. Just follow me. I am your burden bearer. I am your family counselor. I am your peace speaker. Just follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the light. That's why the Bible says, I will follow thee, my Savior, whatsoever thou may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. So when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving me. Do you want saving today? Do you want prison doors to be broken? Do you want God to show up for you? With my friends some years ago, I got to tell you this testimony from years ago. While you text on 954-388-8780, you want God to break prison doors. You want God to show up for you. You're tired of wrestling. You're tired of being broken. You're tired of going through your stuff. Your mind is messed up. Your life is filled with fear. But today God declares over your life, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Some years ago, after preaching in Manchester, Christiana came coming down, just flew from Cayman Islands, preached there, came in another series, and I was preaching. And sometimes when, as preachers, when you're getting excited and you think that you're on top of the world, sometimes God allows some stuff to hit you down. We baptized 20 souls that night, and I was feeling good about myself and good about God. But when I came to my gate in Mandeville, where I was staying at the time, I'm a Kingstonian, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, I was staying in Mandeville at the time, and I came out of my car. It was about after 11. I noticed that the street lights were now knocked out for some reason. So I kept on my car lights, and I opened my door, opened up my gate, was about to go in, and I turned back to get my car keys and to put my laptop back in the car to drive the car in. Two gunmen came out at me. One put a gun to my head and said, "Pastor, man, give me your keys. Give me your laptop back." That laptop had all my sermons, all my slides. But while I saw the gun to my head, and I saw another gunman about to hold his gun, I was scared. Don't get me wrong. I was a little concerned. But the Holy Ghost reminded me, "Didn't you just preach? No weapons formed against you shall prosper. Didn't you just preach that God is your rescuer?" Sometimes God has to remind you of the God you serve. You know, the real Christians, when trouble comes knocking. And so the gun was to my head, and the Holy Spirit say, "All you got to say is this, a one prayer." I didn't have to say, "Oh, thou of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Isaac." Oh, God said, God told me to say, "The blood of Jesus is against you." And I shouted it. The man laughed and clicked that gun, and nothing came out. God jammed that gun, and he kept on clipping. I lifted up my hand and boxed him aside, and I said, "The blood of Jesus." I began to shout. My neighbors came out to my rescue. They began to run down, to run after those gunmen. The other man took his gun to click after me, to shoot me, but God blocked that bullet, and I could hear in the distance, the gunman said, "This must be an obvious pastor, or a voodoo pastor, or in the common vernacular, a pastor in spiritual, in the devil's spiritual." But I laughed to myself. I said, "I'm not with Obia. I'm with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. He will never lose a battle." Because the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Proverbs 18 verse 10. The righteous run to and is saved. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? A few years after, one of the same gunmen found me after doing his time in prison. They found him eventually for possession of firearm and attempting to rob. They locked him up. He did his time, but he found Jesus. And I was at a crusade, and after crusade, he came and found me. He said, "Pastor, you don't know me, but I was the one who stuck you up." Imagine the fear in my face. He said, "Pastor, I'm no longer a gunman. I'm a God man." He said, "I found God in prison because I couldn't understand how your God blocked that bullet, and that gun was loaded before I came to you." He said, "I got to find out what God you serve." He's now a baptized member of the Adventist Church as a deacon. There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do it for you. He's a God of miracles. And so wherever you are, to stretch forth your hand on the screen, on YouTube, Facebook, we're going to pray for you. 954-388-8780. Text that number. Call that number. We're going to pray for you. We're going to help you through your issues. We're going to walk you through your struggles, because there is no secret what God can do. Oh God, we praise your name. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and our griefs to bear. It is a blessed privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what needs we often forfeit. Oh, what needless cares we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so, Lord, even now I lift up my hands and I pray for sweet anointing to fall on somebody who's watching via YouTube and Facebook. Even us in the center today, I pray in the name of Jesus that you heal broken hearts. You set captives free. I pray that those who are shackled in depression, shackled in anxiety, shackled in fear. What a crazy week it has been. But thank God, you still are in control of this country. Trump or Biden, whoever is in power, nobody can touch you. You are God Almighty. And so we pray for this country that you do something mighty in this moment. We pray for our churches across the world. Isn't it interesting, the Wednesday when we started to pray, that's when the devil let loose at the Capitol. But God, we are praying because we know that mountains can crumble. We know that demons can tremble when we pray. We know that you can do miracles and to do change and do wonderful things. And so, Lord, we pray for our churches. We pray for Plantation Church. Every member who is watching via YouTube and Facebook, every family, every young person, every older person, every member, every church board leader, every elder, every pastor, we pray, God, heal somebody. Break some chains. Set some people free, we pray. We pray for those who are broken, who need jobs. We pray for somebody who needs a job, a family who is broken. You'll have forgiveness to mend them together. We pray for those who are in their marriages, are going through some stuff. We pray, Lord, that you'll be that marriage counselor. We pray for those who are going through mental issues, fighting depression and fear. But God, we know that you have not given us such spirit of fear, because you remind us, let our faith be bigger than our fears. And so, Lord, we leave everything into your hands. We pray for all the other speakers who will be coming on every weekend. We pray that you'll give them the right words to help somebody in that particular moment. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that has died on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. We ask, Lord, as we go, that you'll create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Take us another way from thy presence, O God. And take not thy Holy Spirit from us. But we pray, loving Heavenly Father, that you restore in us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us. Take full control of somebody who needs to give their lives to Jesus. Help them to surrender before it is too late. And so, Lord, as we continue in these meetings, consecrate us now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May our souls look up with a steadfast hope, and all our wills be lost in thine. So let the words of our mouth, meditation of our hearts, be found acceptable in thy blessed sight. O Lord, you are our strength. Thank you for being our strength and our redeemer. Let the church who love the Lord say, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you as we continue on in these series. See you tomorrow evening as we look at the caption, I'm praying my way through. God bless you.
Creation bows to worship.
whatever your circumstances, all you need is Jesus Christ. You're going through your problems right now. You're overcoming your issues, but God is able, the Bible says, to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of God with exceeding joy. Won't you open up your heart today and accept Him in your life? If that's your desire, text 954-388-8780. There'll be somebody there to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful to know that you're always there to hear us when we call. You love us in spite of us. And we thank you so much for the total sufficiency of your grace. It doesn't matter how deep we go in sin. It doesn't matter how we fall. You're always there to lift us up. So Lord, we pray, Lord, at this moment in this season, that you'll hear our prayers. You'll be with a mother who's praying for her son. You'll be with a father praying for his daughter. We pray for families that are broken. We pray for hearts that are struggling with fear. I stretch forth my hands and I ask for sweet anointing to fall. Help somebody who is troubled today to know today that there is power and there is victory and there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. So take our lives now and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take our minds, take our hearts as we surrender our all to You. We bless Your name and we give You all the glory and the praise in this moment, in this season, for Christ's sake. Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow as you look at the caption, I'm praying my way through. God bless you.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.